Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, and is found in page 815 in your pew Bibles. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for this opportunity to open up the scriptures and hear your word. We do pray that we would remove all distractions as best as possible from our minds and hearts, and that we would give the full attention to your scripture. Bless it, use it, in spite of ourselves, in spite of myself this morning, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see a family sitting there with a father in the middle reading a book to his children. Hopefully that reminds you of the television show that you all have been watching, This Is Us. Raise your hand if you've ever watched the show. Okay, probably next week if I ask that question, you'll perhaps all have watched the show. It's on every week. And it's probably the only show that's on television that's worth watching at this point in our lives. But Jack Pearson is the father. And Jack is the kind of guy that I think every father wants to be like. And sort of we've been all waiting for Hollywood to create a character that we can associate with. If you grew up with a really awesome dad, you're sort of watching these other shows going, you know, that guy that's always messing up and is portrayed as a buffoon, that doesn't resemble my father. And this is one show you can actually watch and say, wow, they got it right. And Jack Pearson gives his family a gift. And that gift is a legacy. That gift is a legacy. Throughout the show, and these aren't terrible spoilers, but the children, as they are older, do things to reminisce and give credence to their father. For example, on Thanksgiving, they always go for a walk, and that walk is exactly 3.4 miles. And if you watch the show, you'll understand why that's important to the family. On Thanksgiving, they have other traditions, like they have a hat that they pass around. It's a pilgrim's hat, and each son is then Pilgrim Jack. And they're doing that because the father did something when they were little that resembled that. Later on in the episodes, when one of the children is old enough and he has a situation that he needs to face, the father's best friend says, listen, I always know what to do because I just think what your father would do in that scenario. And the son goes out and makes the good decision. But the father left an incredible legacy for his children. And I'm sure that's something that we're all interested in, is leaving a legacy. Well, the Apostle Paul says that there's some things in the faith that we ought to leave as legacies for our children. And there are certain things that are really important that we are to pass on. And one of those things is living a gospel-centered lives. Living a gospel-centered lives. And so in our passage this morning, which is fairly short, it's only two verses, verses 3 and 4, we can learn two simple things. The first is this. The message of the gospel has been handed down to us. Seems simple, but the message of the gospel has been handed down to us. Now, what is that all about? The Bible says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. So the Apostle Paul is basically saying, hey, listen, this gospel that I'm going to present to you is something that I received. It was something that was first presented to me. So theologians speak about this whole process, the Bible, as special revelation. It's special revelation. It's revelation that comes outside of ourselves and is received and is delivered to us. It's special. It's outside of ourselves. In other words, it's from God. It's something that we just don't make up. And so Paul received this revelation. Now, if you've studied your Bibles, you know in the 8th chapter of Acts, Paul is on his way to persecute the Christian church. And there, Jesus appears to him, stops him in his tracks, and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then the Bible even says that something like scales fell from his eyes. Well, that message was delivered to Paul. He did not make that message up. And later on in the book of Galatians, Paul writes these words. Now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not based on human thought. For I did not receive it from human sources. And I was not taught it, but it came from a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now he says that in the first chapter, verses 11 and 12 of the book of Galatians. And he does that because he's establishing his authority as an apostle. When he gives this message, he is saying, listen, this message that you are about to receive is not something I'm just conjuring up in the middle of the night. This is something that was handed down to me. It was delivered to me from Jesus himself, the gospel. A few weeks ago, we were talking about world religions and cults. And it's easy to get those two things confused. But they're not the same. Well, they're not the same. So, for example, a cult. A cult is defined as the following. It is an unorthodox sect whose members distort the original doctrines of the Christian faith. So, for example, they'll take the Bible, and then they'll take another sacred text, so-called sacred, and they will blend them together. That's one of the marks of a cult. So a cult, for example, we would classify Mormonism as a cult. They have their scripture, but they also have another text that they use. So that's one telltale sign of a cult, Bible plus something else. But there's another sign of a cult. And that is when the leader gets some kind of message that contrasts with the traditional teachings of the scripture. And what Paul is saying is this. This message is not to be messed with. We have the scripture revealed through Jesus Christ. And we are not to add to it or subtract from it. Because it's delivered to us. Now you can imagine in your own life. If you were ever in the military or if you've ever worked, you know, in any scenario where you are giving a message, you are giving the envelope or the message, and your job is simply to deliver that message, not open it and add more to it or say, I don't like this or I want to add this. That's not up to us. Our job is to deliver the message. Now, the methods may change, and that's okay, but the message stays the same. This is so serious that the Apostle Paul goes on in the book of Galatians, touching on this very subject, and says this. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than what we have preached, let there be a curse on that person. As I have said before, and I say to you again now, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to that what you have received, let them be accursed. I know that's not very politically correct, but Paul isn't joking around here. This gospel is something sacred, and it's something that you and I should protect. So you and I must deliver a gospel that was intended to be preached. We are responsible to the message. It's the gospel. So it's something that first and foremost we have to understand is delivered to us. But there's something else. That means we must deliver it properly. So there's not only the reception of it, there's the delivery in it. Now in the gospel, there are some basic elements. Some basic elements. You and I just can't make things up. It's sort of like following a recipe. A recipe that's been passed down from generation to generation that you just don't mess with. And you and I have experienced things like this. You've had recipes given to you, and sometimes you take the liberty to add certain things or delete certain things, and it's just not the same. I was sitting having lunch at the Zippe's house a few weeks ago, and before I got there, I noticed on Deb's Facebook page, there was this really incredible pulled pork. It just looked amazing. And so I went in real Pastor Anthony Sly style, and I liked it. And I'm not sure, did I comment like, wow, or this? Wow. Wow. Which translated, he's coming over in a few days. I think he wants me to make this for him. It's a little trick I use. Just be ready. So sure enough, I show up. Pulled pork's there. Amazing. She sends some home. Perfect. I decide I'm going to make the pulled pork. Pastor Anthony's going to make the pulled pork. But Pastor Anthony doesn't follow directions. Pastor Anthony's pulled pork, nothing like Deb's pulled pork. It's okay. I had friends over. I fed them, and then I sent it home with them. Here you go. Here you go. Give some to the whole family. Here's the point. Listen, there are some things that you don't mess with. You're not supposed to mess with it. And the gospel is one of those things. It's not our right to mess with it. It's something that has been given to us. They're almost like these great pillars that we hang on to desperately. So I just want to share some of them with you, and then I'm going to go over to the whiteboard. I have more whiteboard magic for you all. And I'm going to show you a really easy way that you and I can take this gospel with all of its complexity and present it in a simple way. In fact, there's a little, in the back of your bulletin, you'll see there's a picture, and that's what I'm going to do, and you can keep that, okay? But the great pillars, just quickly, are this. The first is simple. Christ died for our sins. You have to start with the bad news. We are created in the image of God. We were put in the perfect garden, and we've all messed up. We want to be our own gods. Christ died for us, though. We can't save ourselves. Also, Jesus died according to the Scriptures. This isn't made up. This is something that God planned from the beginning of all eternity. In fact, if you look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, when Jesus is walking with the two disciples, when he describes and shares what's going on, he starts way back in the Old Testament. And that's one Bible study I wish I could have been at. But he died according to the Scriptures. Also, Christ was raised from the dead. I love the movie The Passion. But one of the things that I just wish there was more of was the victory of Jesus rising again. Now, I know there's a very short clip in the end there. In fact, I've heard a rumor that Mel Gibson is actually creating a part two to that, which will be great. But I remember watching it, and it's hard to watch. And at the end, there's just this little one-minute clip, and I went, oh, I wanted more of that. But that is central to our faith. You cannot have the Christian faith without the resurrection. It is a fundamental pillar to our faith. And then there is a plea. There is a plea involved in the gospel. And that is forsake yourself and flee to Christ. He's the Savior. You need this Jesus. And then finally, you order your life around Jesus. He's the object of your affection. He saves your soul. He's your great love. So you start to order your life around Jesus. So the navigators, which I'm sure you're familiar with, they have something they created, which again is in your bulletin, and it's on the whiteboard here. And they have a way to present this story in a very easy way through one Bible verse that you can take and either, you know, cut this out, keep it in your wallet, or if you remember it, you can just, even if you're at dinner, you can draw it on a napkin. And so I want to just walk through it with you because, you know, if the sermon isn't practical, I think something's wrong. So I just want to show you a way that you could perhaps do this in your own life. So if you have your bulletin, take that out now. So if the opportunity presents itself, you could simply share what's in your bulletin. You can take that out, and you just walk them through one Bible verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. And yes, that's my handwriting. And so what you do is you walk through this, and this is going to be empty really at the time, and you just go through the main words that are up here. You can circle the word or just put it here. And so you talk about wages. You know, you can ask a question. So when you're at work and you're working and every 2 weeks or every 15 days, you're expecting something. And what are you expecting? Well, you've worked, so you hopefully you're going to get your wage. And that's money. Something's owed to you. Well, sure. But see, the Bible says that we are owed something, and that is sin. And you can explain, well, listen, because we've disobeyed God, because none of us are perfect and God is, the thing that we're owed is sin. And because of that sin in our lives, now death is ushered in. We die physically, we get old, we get sick, and worse than that, spiritually we have died. We've lost that connection with God. But there's something really great here, and this shows, this but is a contrast. It's almost like screeching on your brakes if you're reading through this in the Greek. That but is a contrast. It's like stopping immediately. In other words, this is all bad news, but on the other side, there's a gift. And that gift is through the gift of God, Jesus Christ, who died for us. And even though we're separated from God over here, Jesus bridges that gap so that we can return to God. And when we embrace Christ and we start to live according to His will, He changes our hearts, we have eternal life. But that life isn't just when we breathe our last. Jesus wants us to have eternal life and abundant life right now. And so this is just a simple way that you can share all of that stuff that seems so complex at times. And sometimes we don't share the gospel because we think to ourselves, that's just too complex or that's just too hard. I could never do that. Well, I'm here to tell you that doesn't have to be the case. You can do this simply. You can take that bulletin, like I said, cut it out so it's already there. The work is done for you. And you can just walk through it. And then it's up to the Holy Spirit to work in the person's heart. They may respond positively to you right on the spot. Or they may say, I don't want to hear any more of that. That's okay. This is our job. Our job is this. We can't control the human heart. So it's just a way to make a practical gospel presentation in somebody's life. Now let's go a little more practical. We've been talking about passing on things to your children. Jack Pearson passed on these great, great traditions to his children. I'm sure if you think about in your own life, you can think about different things that your mother and father or grandparents passed on to you that you do to this day because you want to sort of live through those people. It's a good thing. But my challenge to you is to think more about how you can pass on the traditions of the gospel to your family. So I wanted to capture a few ways we can do that. And I wanted to show how this can be, sometimes I think this could be a little abstract, but even in daily life, we see this. not in the family, but in somebody's life that we all know, the baseball player Tim Tebow, who plays for the Mets now, just in a current interview was quoted as saying this: "At the end of the day, I know that's not why I'm here, to play baseball. It's not my biggest purpose. It's not my biggest calling. It's not how I want to be known in my life. I want my life to be so much more than that. I want to be someone that was known for bringing faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. And that is something that is a life calling for me, and it's so much bigger than just sports." And over the years, I've talked to countless people interested in Christian parenting that would say they want to leave a godly legacy to their children, but sometimes they just don't know how. So I can tell you one way that I try to do that with my kids. When we pray together at dinner time, I try to come up with something that they will remember. And maybe over the years they'll think that I'm the biggest dork in the world, but right now they think it's cool. But maybe they'll pass this on to their kids. So when we pray before dinner, we say, everyone's fingers up. Go ahead. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everyone around this table and this food before us. May we live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. They think it's cool right now. Maybe over the years they'll say, Dad, let's just cut that out. Probably. But maybe over the years in the future, if they get married and have kids, maybe I'll watch them do that with their kids. It's leaving a godly legacy. So you can be creative. You can be creative in that. So the question now is this: what kind of legacy are you leaving with your kids? And don't let the fact that we're imperfect stop you. We're all imperfect. And I say that's okay. Let them see that imperfection. Let them see that sometimes life is just sloppy. Let them see how you react. It's okay to fail in front of your kids and go back and say, hey, I'm sorry. If I could have redone that, I would have. Would you forgive me? There's a lot of learning just in that. So my challenge for you is, whether you're a parent, going to be a parent one day, or a grandparent, how are you going to live in a way that leaves a godly legacy for your children? And if you haven't thought of that yet, that's okay, because we're still here and we're on this journey together. But when you leave here, sit down, pray about, and think about a way that you can do that. Create traditions in your kids' life, emphasizing gospel living. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes this can be overwhelming, but you are good and you are with us on this journey. And the other really great thing is, we are together on this journey. We're not doing this alone. So, Lord, help us to think and consider how we could leave godly legacies for our children, how we can pass on a life that is centered around the gospel, so that we may watch our children living these things again and again and again. We're grateful for this opportunity and privilege. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.